saw Gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Hey, we're live on a Sunday night. Walter M. Sterling. Yes, I looked at radio and said, can't we do better? Can't we do something different? And you know, when program directors consider putting on Sterling on Sunday, the geniuses, Alan First, Steve Moore, these guys, Greg Stockard, Bill White, they immediately said, well, this is great. We're going to have a good time. We'll put it on the air. The other ones go, well, you know, it doesn't fit in. That's the point. It doesn't fit in. You don't fit in because you're an introvert. You don't fit in because, you know, you're not a team player, but you are. They just don't think you are. Now, here we are on Sunday night. What is the worst thing about Sunday night? No, it's not anticipating having to go to work tomorrow. That's not the problem. The problem is that at this time, you take a moment to survey your weekend. What did you do this weekend? And every week, you come up the same. I didn't do all the things I promised myself I would do. I didn't do hardly anything I promised myself I would do. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the best weather report you will ever hear because it's live. Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how New York City residents reacted to the red light camera program, including some gunfire and a stick of dynamite. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Our dancers unionizing. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're married with 8 kids. We see other couples say things on Facebook that
they probably shouldn't say.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. $18 million lawsuit over violent arrest at a Walmart. People of Walmart, later. Sterling at night.
Have you ever been to an adult arcade? No, not like an adult arcade. I just mean like an arcade that's aimed at it. You know what? Forget it. Some guy tried to rob one. It's really stupid. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Well, welcome. Now, if you're new, and I hope you are, I hope you've just discovered this amazing radio show, which is live. The fact is that we do something that no other show on this station does. I never talk about politics. How is that? Why is that? I'll tell you why that is. Number one, I'm terrible at it. I know my limitations. I know that I had better stick with water in the basement. Now, in my opinion, no matter what happens in Congress, it's not as big a deal as if I open the basement door and I see water in the basement. How about you? Or the engine light, which never goes off. My engine light is on right now, and it doesn't seem to be going off for any reason. When I started this show 9 years ago, I said, you know, there must be something that doesn't fit in. We can make something that doesn't fit in, and it'll be okay. It'll be fine. We'll be terrific and successful. And you know what? We are. It is astonishing to me the fact that, first of all, we get ratings. The fact that we get any ratings at all at this time and with my limited skills is amazing. But the other thing is that we never lose an affiliate. Now, before I was doing this, I wore a suit and a tie and wingtip shoes and a white button-down shirt from Brooks Brothers. For years, I did something called affiliate relations. That means I worked at the ABC Radio Network. And my job was to gather affiliates and keep them. And there was always tremendous turnover. Tremendous, no matter what the show, there was tremendous turnover. Nobody has left this show. No station has left this show because, well, first of all, it's Sunday night, so they don't think about it. It's like, I don't have to worry about that. But the other reason is that is you. the engagement, the give and take that you and I have with texts and email and on the telephone is astonishing. The engagement is profound, and I am grateful for that. You and I can always communicate. Here's my email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And I have God's given best website you have ever seen. WalterSterlingShow.com. What? WalterSterlingShow.com. It is my opinion, and that is what this whole show is about, it is my opinion that women have never had it better. Have never had it better. Most of my career, I worked for women, and I hired strong, powerful, smart women. And very much they're in charge. If you get to work with a woman in the workplace, she's in charge. You have no say. You can't say anything. You can't look at her and say, gee, you look great today. Harmless, innocent, complimenting her outfit, you can't say it. Guys, you can't say it. You can't say, gee, you look great tonight. You'll be dragged into HR in 2 seconds. You will be filleted. You'll be filleted. How dare you say that? Now, what I don't understand is how do women who want to be chairman of the board can't handle some jerk saying, hey, you look great today? Women say that they have terrible things taking place today. Worst parts about being a woman these days. What are the worst parts about being a woman these days? Because I can't think anything. I can't imagine anything except for the fact that you're screwed at the dry cleaner. Why does a blouse for a woman cost more to dry clean than a shirt for a guy? I'll never understand it. And beauty products for a woman, oh my God. But those are voluntary things. Beauty products are voluntary things. You don't have to use them. It's not necessary. And then I look at the workforce and I see progressively that women continue to have to dress nice to go to work, and men are slobs. They're sitting there without ties. They're sitting there without socks, you know. The shirts are dirty. It doesn't seem to matter, but my God, you know, no woman could come in like that. Okay, that's it. Those are the only bad things I can think of being a woman, a working woman today. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, the worst things about being a woman today. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to speak about the red light camera program that New York City implemented. Now, under the guise of public safety, New York City began installing red light cameras across the five boroughs in the early 90s. The program is a sham, earning the city millions of dollars annually. Red light cameras don't prevent vehicle accidents by snapping a photo of your car passing through an intersection after the light has changed. The cameras create more accidents when motorists are rear-ended for slamming on their brakes to avoid getting a red light summons. No one asked New York City residents if they wanted City Hall to have another way to pick their pockets. Like dandelions, these cameras began popping up across the city. The high-tech devices were mounted on lampposts at busy intersections. The cameras sparked outrage in parts of Queens and Staten Island, where neighborhood residents had shot up and in one instance blew up a red light camera with a stick of dynamite. At the time, I had an apartment in my aunt's building down the block from my parents' house. The mailman would often confuse my father and me because we share the same name. Two Victor F. Ferraris living on the same block was not good, and there are no advantages to your father reading your mail. So I'd hear things like, hey, did you get my AAA renewal? Or, men's health, what a crock. Give me $8 a month and I'll tell you what's healthy. And countless other helpful tips were delivered to me daily by my father. I felt like I was 13 years old when my old man rummaged through my room for contraband. So one day after work, I stopped by my parents' house, and as I stepped through the door, I get ambushed by my father waving a piece of paper. Hey, schmuck, just because you're a cop, it doesn't give you the right to blow through red lights, he's laughing at me. I go, Dad, I didn't go through a red light. What are you talking about? He says, Rosedale Avenue and the Cross Bronx Expressway ring a bell? I said, Dad, I didn't go through a red light. He goes, you sure did, and it's right here, my father said, and he throws the paper in my chest. I examine the form and I start to laugh. It was a red light summons mailed to a registered owner of a 1990 Dodge Shadow. Unfortunately for my father, it wasn't me and it was his car. So I start laughing and my father goes, yeah, go ahead, laugh. That red light just cost you $50. I said, it's not going to cost me anything. That's your car. He goes, what are you talking about? My father looked like I had informed him the death of a relative. He grabbed the paper from my hand, threw on his readers. He's staring at the form, holding it up to the sunlight from the front window for authenticity. How can this be? I don't drive through red lights, my father shouted. Well, Dad, I don't know what to tell you. That's not my car, and you never let me borrow it. So my father's stewing, and he's going on about how he's going to fight this thing in court and everything, and then suddenly he comes up with an idea. He goes, hey, can you take care of this for me? I go, Dad, it's a red light summons, and it goes through Department of Traffic. It has nothing to do if you got a ticket in a precinct or something, and even then, I wouldn't be able to squash it for you. He goes, what the hell good is it of having two sons as cops if they can't get me out of a red light ticket? Well, that's just the thing. Everybody thinks cops have all this power, and the reality is they don't. So be sure to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, live on Sunday. Yes, live on Sunday. Welcome to the big show. It seems to me that I have three daughters. I'm not imagining it. I have three daughters, and they're about to go into the world. They're 11, 17, and 20. And I look at them, I say, you know, you have it made. You have nothing to worry about. This is the best time to be a young woman entering the workforce. Every single law, every single dynamic in the workplace is there to protect you and make your life easy. There, you're not going to have any problems. Don't even imagine that there's anything difficult about being a woman today. Based on the conversations I have with grown women, there are a couple problems. The biggest problem is dealing with doctors, dealing with hospitals, having procedures. When a guy has a procedure, let me tell you, we're wimps. We're total wimps. Every known painkiller is given to us for every known procedure. I can't tell you how many times I've heard women say to me, you know, I don't get those painkillers. And I'm shocked. Some examples are like a colposcopy, which they cut out a chunk of a woman's cervix for a biopsy, and they don't even provide a Tylenol or an IUD insertion. Meanwhile, men who get vasectomies or a tooth pulled, all the drugs that we want, all the drugs we can imagine. Heck, when I get an MRI, I get two Valium. I'm not going to go into that thing without a Valium. Are you crazy? It seems to me that it's tougher for women to get the painkillers that they need and deserve. But I don't know if that's the hardest thing about being a woman today, and I wish you would tell me what is the hardest thing about being a woman today so I can inform my little daughters. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, and I look forward to talking to you. Now, the other thing I've got to share with you, and I'll share it with you in moments, I had the worst week of in years. This was the hardest, the worst week imaginable. It was intense, it was difficult, and it's sort of kind of a miracle that everything worked out okay, and I'll share that with you coming up. But I have three daughters, and I see that they get screwed at the dry cleaner. Dry cleaners charge more for blouses than they do for men's dress shirts. And then women who don't fit in, women who are non-traditional, who are not feminine in a traditional way, complain that they get a lot of hate, that they're not understood, people don't try to work it out. If you're not a traditional woman, if you don't behave in a traditionally feminist way, apparently this is one of the biggest problems for a woman today. They're not accepted, they're rejected, they don't fit in. Here you fit in. This is Sterling on Sunday, and you fit in. Why? Because this whole show doesn't fit in. This station is airing this show against the very nature, against the biology, the evolution of American radio, which is apparently only supposed to give traffic, sports scores, and yell at the Democrats. That's pretty much what makes up most radio stations today. And you know what? The reason I don't talk about politics is because it seems to me there are only two answers. It's two answers. I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. Why? Okay, that's 30 seconds. What happens after that? Nothing. And then they keep getting these audiences that are ancient, because most of the people who listen to that stuff are seeking companionship. They can't get up to turn off the radio. But you can. Now, that weekend that you and I just had, that's our curse, because now it's about 10:30, 7:30 on the West Coast, and this is the time where we reflect on our weekend. And inevitably, I look back on the weekend and go, I didn't get done most of what I promised I was going to do. I didn't clean the basement. I didn't fix the squeaky door. And I don't know why the engine light is on. That's every Sunday night. Why is the engine light on? Why am I having these endless problems? Now, I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago that I had water in the basement. And it was because there was a leaky pipe from the furnace to the heat system in the house. Turns out that the entire pipe had to be replaced. You gave me great suggestions on how to fix the leak. Thank you for those great suggestions. I spent way too much time at Home Depot, way too much time at Ace Hardware trying to solve this problem. And yes, I used Flex Seal. You know that stuff the guy spreads on the bottom of a boat and he doesn't sink? That lasted for a day. The Flex Seal lasted for a day. And then I bought another kind of Flex Seal and another. I got the sheets, I got the liquid, I got the caulking, every kind of Flex Seal you could imagine I got. And none of it worked. No offense to the Flex Seal people, but it'd be nice if you bought time on the show. Would you buy time on the show? Then I think we'd do a lot better. But that didn't happen. I bought all sorts of clamps and putties, and nothing would stop that leak. And it was hot water, which I think was the heart of the problem. Now I don't have water on the basement. This is a major step in the evolution and enjoyment of my home. In my home, that constitutes a renovation. No more leaky pipe. That's a whole renovation. Other people waste time and money renovating kitchens. What we do is we fix the pipe. But what I want to talk with you about is, what is the hardest thing about being a woman today? What is the biggest challenge you have as a woman today? Maybe in your marriage, in the workplace. What's difficult? What's challenging? Because when I look at your situation, I don't see anything. Every law is written to protect you. Every HR situation is designed to protect you. Ronan Farrow is constantly monitoring bad behavior in men and reporting on it in The New Yorker. Yes, nobody will read it in The New Yorker. Who reads that? You don't read that. You look at the cartoons. That's what you do with The New Yorker. That's what everybody does. But Ronan Farrow is always writing these articles about how horrible men are. And then immediately Congress goes into session and says, yes, men are horrible. Let's create these laws to protect women. I'm like, what? What's tough about being a woman today? My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, or the Vanity phone number. You ready? 888-688-WALT. Oh, my gosh. And, my friend, I do a podcast. Because by law, every talk show host must do a podcast, because being on this station that is a blowtorch station that covers half of America, that's not enough. That's not enough. I have to make a podcast. And the podcast is Midnight Misfits. Midnight Misfits. You can get it at Apple iTunes or wherever fine podcasts are sold.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
I've got three daughters. They're teenagers, and they're about to become women and go into the workforce and into the world. And I look at them, I say, you have no idea how lucky you are. Do you realize that a guy at work, if he says to you, gee, you look great today, he's going to be sued, thrown out of the company and banished from his industry just for saying, boy, you look great today. Isn't that amazing? But you can say to a guy, hey, you look great today. And you know what happens? Nothing. The hardest thing about being a woman today. What is the hardest thing about being a woman today? Because I can't think of anything except I think doctors screw women. I think doctors on the whole aren't nearly as good to women as they are to men. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Oh, my gosh, here's Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Our dancers unionizing. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're married with 8 kids. We see other couples say things on Facebook that
they probably shouldn't say.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. $18 million lawsuit over violent arrest at a Walmart. People of Walmart, later. Sterling at night.
Have you ever been to an adult arcade? No, not like an adult arcade. I just mean like an arcade that's aimed at it. You know what? Forget it. Some guy tried to rob one. It's really stupid. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Toughest thing about being a woman today. Peggy in Alaska, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm very excited to hear from you in Alaska, listening on WFBR. Are you in Fairbanks or North Pole?
I'm in North Pole. I live, which is next to Fairbanks.
And are you a lifer Alaskan, or did you move there?
No, I'm a Floridian. I didn't move here till 15 years ago.
Such an interesting choice to move from Florida to Alaska. I have to ask you, Peggy, why?
Well, my daughter was in the Air Force up here and got out of the Air Force and joined the Air National Guard unit here. And then she got married, had a baby, so I decided, you know what, my grandchild's in Alaska and I'm in Florida. I'm just going to pack up and sell everything and move.
Good
so we sold
you.
Our home and our business. And I had a great job there, but I left it, and we came to Alaska.
Peggy,
been here 15 years now.
It's amazing. Peggy, what's the toughest thing about being a woman today? As young as you are, I don't know if you've had much experience, but what's the toughest thing about being a woman today?
Well, especially for these young college women and young women athletes, having to compete against a biological man. It's the toughest thing women are going against now. We're also having to compete for all kinds of spots in the world. Time Magazine, Woman of the Year. I mean, everywhere it's Woman of the Year and it's a man. What's wrong with these people? Don't they have eyeballs? So can't they see that's a man?
The toughest thing about that situation in sports is that women are going to get hurt. When they're competing one-on-one with a guy, I don't care how you feel about it. I don't think it matters if it's fair. It's a very simple thing. Women are going to get hurt, Peggy.
They are getting hurt, yes. And all these women need to get their self together and say, not doing it. When they shoot the gun for the race, sit down. Let the man run by himself. And this stuff would stop.
Peggy, I'm very grateful that you listen, and I'm more grateful that you called, and I thank you very much for being a midnight misfit and listening to Sterling on Sunday. Thank you. 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. I have 3 daughters. And I look at them today and I go, you're going to go into the workforce and you're going to be golden. No one's going to touch you. No one's going to give you a hard time. No one's going to attack you in a hotel room. And you know what to do if they do. It's funny, when all the Weinstein stuff came up, I looked at them and I said, do you know what you do if you find yourself in a room alone with a guy and he starts acting inappropriately? Do you know what you do? And all 3 of them looked at me like, you're crazy. We know exactly what to do. You kick him in the nuts and you call the police. These daughters of mine, they knew that. And you don't put yourself in a hotel room. You don't go to a hotel room with a fat middle-aged guy who has a little too much power and a complex about using it. You don't. as stupid as those situations are, if it happens more than once to a particular woman, what is she thinking? Get the hell out of there. It's your responsibility at that point. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I have had a really hell week, and it starts with our favorite conversation, which is about my sister-in-law. And I believe that everybody's hardest part of their marriage is not getting along or raising the kids or dealing with money because, you know, we don't have any money, so it's really not an issue. No, the toughest thing is the fact that your sister-in-law, gentlemen, controls your marriage. That ugly coffee table that wound up in your house, the one with the glass top that you hate because you always think you're going to break it when you put a glass down on it, that coffee table, I promise you, was first purchased by your sister-in-law. And it was in her house for a good 18 months. And then your wife saw it and decided, you know, I need that coffee table. But what happened to me this week, I had a slam after slam after slam. You had one of those weeks where just every day it was another brutal situation. It's and the toughest one I'll tell you about in just seconds. My name is Walter M. Sterling. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of I, Curly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
Give a helpful hint here. Generally speaking, when you go into Walmart, there's a real temptation to lose your temper. Sometimes the people in there are absolutely unhinged. Tangenique Bird and Tarianna Edmonds allegedly started spraying customers at a Walmart just outside of Syracuse, New York, in beautiful DeWitt with an amazing amount of pepper spray. Police were called. Shocker. So the police call, and there's these women spraying everybody with pepper spray. What do the cops do? They go and they tackle these women, throw them in handcuffs, arrest them, and haul them off. Well, now these women are seeking revenge. The pair are looking for a combined $18 million from that police department. The DeWitt PD and the Village of East Syracuse have filed motions, of course, to dismiss the case. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know what you're supposed to do if you're a police officer. People are spraying folks with pepper spray. You go in, you find the baddies, you get them out of there, and more than likely, these folks are not well hinged. This, by the way, happened on the birthday of our nation. Almost 2 years ago, on July 4th, 2021, they just filed the lawsuit now. Walmart. Anything can happen at any time. Helpful hint, do not pepper spray or bear spray fellow customers inside the store. Even though it's a heck of a temptation sometimes, isn't it? Aren't you in the Walmart and you see somebody doing something really stupid? You know, like a crowd shopping, like there's a gang of people all looking at cereal and you can't get by them. Don't you want to bear spray them? I do. Heavens, yes, I do. But I don't, because I'm reasonably well-adjusted. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
All right, welcome, Kathy, in Hatboro, Pennsylvania. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Toughest thing about being a woman today.
Okay, well, I wanted to follow up on what the woman from Alaska said, if that's okay, and I'll try
Absolutely.
To be concise.
Kathy, it's your show. Talk to the nation.
I played a lot of sports growing up in North Jersey. Tennis was one of my favorites. And, you know, there were boys and girls at our tennis courts, you know, the public courts and wherever we played. The boys, as teenagers, once they get to a certain age, they were much stronger than I was. I mean, so I think it's kind of ridiculous to, I don't think it's fair to have, you know, these people who were men as now they're women, competing with women. I think they should maybe have a league of their own or something.
What a great name.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, what a great name for a movie, A League of Their Own. Now listen, Kathy, I have not heard one person, mm-hmm. not one person who's had experience in sports say,
right.
this is a good idea. I haven't heard one person say, this is a good idea, Kathy. This is crazy talk.
No, once, you know, my high school didn't have girls' tennis teams, but the boys I knew were on the tennis team that I played tennis with were on the boys' team. But anyway, now they would have them, of course. But, I mean, it's just not fair at all to have them play, you know.
Yeah, and as a father of three daughters,
if I knew
that they were going into a competitive team and, oh, gee, some of the people they were competing against were guys, I'd be horrified. Not for any social reason. I don't care if you turn yourself into a man or a woman. I don't care.
Okay.
But I do care if you can mow down my little girl. That bothers
right.
me a lot. Now, Kathy, let me ask you a very important question.
Yeah.
You grew up in North Jersey?
Ridgewood, New Jersey, yes.
Yes.
That's where I come from, but I'm living in the greater Philadelphia area now. I went to college in Philadelphia, a women's college, and they had tennis teams. But my high school didn't have it in the 60s when I went. They just had the boys' teams.
I grew up in Maplewood, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, I know where that is.
It's sort of like the twin city to Ridgewood. We always felt, gee, it's a lot like Ridgewood, except you were richer.
Well, we had five children in our family, so you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. But, Kathy, I totally agree. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday, 888-688-WALT, talking about the toughest thing about being a woman today. Because it seems to me, thanks to Ronan Farrow and other geniuses, all of the final stretch of affirmative action and the final stretch of equality in the workplace has been achieved, because now no man dares tell a woman that they're stupid. No, no, not that. They don't dare tell a woman that she can't get paid as much as a man. No, they don't say that. That's not the problem. All of that's been dealt with. The problem is that no man today can look at a woman and say, gosh, you look terrific today. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How could that happen in the workplace? It's sexualizing and objectifying a woman. What, to say that she looks great today? That'll drag you into 400 hours of diversity training and affirmative action training. It's crazy. 888-688-WALT. I have spent a career when I used to wear a suit to work and I wore wingtip shoes. I had a career where most of the people I worked for happened to be women. Most of my bosses happened to be women. And I am proud to say that nobody has given more women high executive jobs, vice president, general managers, executive vice presidents than me. But the fact is that it still seems that most women are not satisfied. They don't think that the decks are fair. Women don't seem to think that it's okay, that they're not treated fairly. And there are situations where they're not, from my perspective, which is in medicine. I think usually women are treated much worse in medical situations because, to start with, they're not given painkillers to the degree men are. They go in for these procedures, these wacky procedures, and they're not given painkillers. They're not given Tylenol. That's what I see. Oh, and at the dry cleaner. At the dry cleaner, women pay much more for a blouse than a guy pays for a dress shirt. Insane. What's the toughest thing for you being a woman today? The toughest thing about being a woman today? I want to know, because I've got three daughters, and I'm trying to be a good dad and let them know what life's about. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. That's the situation. Toughest thing about being a woman today, and I look forward to talking with you about that. Now, coming up at midnight, we have an expert on UFOs, because that's what you do at midnight. And then we're going to talk about the X-File theory on pandemics. Because, you see, the X-Files covered everything about pandemics that we have since experienced. They predicted that a pandemic was going to spread a virus that enabled us to be controlled by aliens. It was on the X-Files, therefore it's practically true. And then you and I are going to talk about what I think is the least fair situation in a workplace, which is people getting fired for things other than their job. They're getting fired for things they say outside of work, on Twitter, on Facebook. They're getting fired for that. But no, I see, I'm getting paid to do this job. And I can't tell you how many times in the past 2 years people in broadcasting, people on TV are suspended or fired for something not that they did on the air, but that they mentioned to somebody else at a luncheon. I'm like, what? Wrong. Just wrong. And those things need to be aired out in court and to be settled because it's crazy. It's crazy. I don't want my workplace to have tentacles into my life and how I behave in my life. My job is to get paid for a job and nothing else. Nothing else. But I had the worst week. I can't begin to tell you what a difficult week it's been. I'm going to share it with you coming up in just seconds. But I doubt very much that you've ever had a week as difficult as I've had. And of course, the epicenter of the problem was my sister-in-law. The epicenter of all of my problems are my in-laws. That's the biggest risk to any marriage, the relationship with the in-laws. Toughest thing about being a woman today. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. I'm asking because I have to prepare my daughters. My three daughters are about to go into the world. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Kate Littlejohn.
I told you we should have done a sting. It would have taken an hour. We'd control all the variables, get Shales negotiating on the wire.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida Story, we're going to one of those hip, cool adult arcades. Have you been to these? I love them. If you are like around my age or younger, you grew up playing video games and the nostalgia of going to these adult arcades where you can hang out on a Saturday night and they have a full bar so you can get a whiskey and Diet Coke and then you can go play Tron or Dig Dug or Top Gun or Galaga or Dance Dance Revolution. It's amazing. All of the nostalgia. It just comes flowing back. It makes you feel like a kid again. Well, one of these in a place called Clewiston, Florida. It's the 777 arcade, and someone comes in attempting to rob the joint. What this nerd wasn't expecting was that the 777 arcade stays strapped. They have a security guard with a gun who fires a single shot, and the dude runs off. That's it. No more threat. So they call the cops. Cops track him down. They go find him at his apartment, and he runs out the back, jumps in a car, takes off. Now there's a police chase. He chucks the gun, but he ends up crashing. The police get him in custody, and here's the story. The police go back, and it turns out that one shot that the security guard fired actually hit this nerd in the back. So kudos to the security guard for firing through a crowd and hitting the guy that was attempting to rob the arcade. So first off, amazing shot. Second off, when the cops go find the gun that was chucked on the side of the road, turns out it was a BB gun. This dude tried to do one of the great bluffs and rob a place with a BB gun, got shot in the back for it. He almost got himself killed. And what are you robbing an arcade? These places make money, but you're risking your life with a BB gun to go rob an arcade? I mean, like, how much could you possibly get? What are you going to do? Are you just going to go grab a big roll of the skee ball tickets and laugh maniacally into the night? Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is this?
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Well, we were very lucky. We got a grant for our kid to pay for her dance lessons, to pay for her dance school. And the way it works is the state gives the parent the money, and then the parent is supposed to give the school the money. That's how it's supposed to work. I'm checking my available balance all week, all month. Every day I'm checking the available balance, and I'm like, you know, we're doing pretty good this month. We're really not spending so much money. We're doing fine, but that I'm just looking at the available balance. What happens? I look at the end of the month, at the whole month of April, and I see that the grant had been wired into our account. We got the money for the grant, and we spent it. I thought you know, that I was doing good, but I hadn't checked the deposits. And we got the money and we spent it. Why? Because that's what we do. So we spent it. And now I had a problem, which is that the guy who runs the school was notified that we had gotten the grant money. And he's like, where's the grant money? And he calls me up. He says, where's the grant money? And I'm like, well, you know, I made a mistake. I'm not trying to steal from you. I apologize. Give me 10 days and I'll send it to you because I get paid in 10 days. Not 10 months, not 10 weeks, 10 days. Okay, fine. He agrees. 2 days later, we get an email from the school saying that that's not okay. You're going to have to come up with the money right now, or your kid will not be able to participate in the end of the year recital, which was today. Your kid cannot participate in the end of the year recital, which is today. Now, a recital in a dance school is a very big deal, and it's a big dance school. A lot of kids are involved, huge auditoriums rented, and they sell tickets to this, which has always annoyed me, because if I've been paying for dance lessons all year, I shouldn't have to pay to see the recital. Nevertheless, we bought the tickets. Grandma and Grandpa bought the tickets. The costumes, which are elaborate and expensive, were purchased. The tutu was purchased. The kid had been rehearsing for weeks for this recital. And he says, unless I get the $500 by recital, and this was on Tuesday, unless I get it by recital time, we're not going to let your kid come and do the recital. Now, there's no way in heck that my kid's ever going to know this happened. Can't tell her that this happened. Here's the best part and the worst part. My blessed wife calls her very, very rich sister. Well, how rich is her sister? They have an estate in Greenwich, Connecticut. Okay, that's impressive. That doesn't tell you she's rich. This is what'll tell you she's rich. She has a pond on her estate, a pond that is being dredged to make it into a better pond. Can you imagine what it cost, like on Oak Island, to bring in giant equipment to dredge your pond on a residential property in Greenwich, Connecticut? Can you imagine? You and I will never live long enough to make in a year what a dredging in Greenwich, Connecticut is going to cost. Because, gee, if I have a dredging piece of equipment and I'm going to dredge a pond in Greenwich, I'm going to charge them up in the wazoo. They're going to pay a fortune for this. She calls her rich sister and says, listen, this is what happened. Do you think we could get $500? She says, we can't let our parents be disappointed. We can't let our kid be disappointed. And this guy's being a jerk. Sister-in-law says, oh, well, remember that project we did together? Yeah. Well, I paid you, but I didn't pay all of it. I still have $1,000. My wife's like, what do you mean you have $1,000? You owe me $1,000? Yes. Why? You ready for this? They're maybe planning a trip to Ireland in a couple months for their father, and maybe they're going to do that. And my sister-in-law kept $1,000 so that my wife, if they went to Ireland, would have play money. She didn't tell my wife. She didn't ask my wife. And I don't believe the story for one second. I don't believe the story for one second. I think it was purposeful. She purposely kept the money. Don't know why, except that her husband is really bizarrely cheap, considering he's dredging a pond. And I'm like, I say to my wife, get the $1,000. Our problems are solved. Get the whole $1,000. And she said, well, maybe I'll ask for $250 or $400. I said, did you earn it? Yes. She needs to send you the money. She's been holding your money for months. You see, my wife decided in that nanosecond of saying, well, maybe only we need $250 or $350. She decided in that nanosecond to keep herself in deprivation. It's an expression they use in these programs to help you get out of debt. Don't keep yourself in deprivation. But that's what she volunteered to do until I said, you're getting all the money. Fortunately, we did get all the money. And we were able to go to the recital today, which was spectacular. It was spectacular to see my 17-year-old, who had been in a horrible car crash in January, still sustains injuries, cannot go on point. I don't know how she did what she did today, but she did a beautiful solo ballet. And then she was part of a group of other kids who did a beautiful ballet. And it was very satisfying to see. But any time, I don't know about you, any time I get anywhere near my in-laws about money, they're so weird and they're so rich. My brother and sister are loaded up the wazoo. And rather than saying, hey, you know, Walter, we know sometimes you have a tough time, especially a couple of years ago, it was brutal. How can we help you? I have never heard one rich relative say, how can we help you? How can we help you? I have never heard that coming out of their mouth.
The greatest threat to a marriage is not financial issues. It's not the loss of a job. It's not even facing poverty or dealing with illnesses and sicknesses. These things come and go in this life, and you can work through any of that stuff. The greatest potential threat to a marriage happens to be the families of origin, the people who become in-laws.
In-laws. That's the greatest risk to our marriage. The dynamics with the in-laws, the relatives. I didn't invite all of you into my marriage. I married my wife. She didn't even have to invite any of you. Trouble with the in-laws. That is the greatest risk to our marriages. The dynamic between your sister-in-law and you, the role of a sister-in-law seems to be to constantly reviewing how things are going. How things are going. Shouldn't he be doing more of this? Shouldn't he be doing less of this? Oh, my God. Trouble with the in-laws. I'd like to know about the trouble you have with your in-laws. Any story will be great because I feel pretty alone about this. It's not something you casually bring up at the country club. It's not something casually you give at the bar or at the supermarket or at Aldi's. You don't casually say, you know, I have a lot of trouble with my in-laws. You get to be anonymous right here and speak to the entire country. My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. But that was only one part of my problems this week. The rest of my problems were spectacular. And I'll share that with you coming up in just seconds. 888-688-9258. I love talking to you. That's why I do this show. Oh, this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Jimmy Failla.
The truth is, it takes balls for a man to get ahead in 2023. And if we're being honest, it takes balls for a woman, too.
All right, 888-688-WALT, The Curse of Oak Island. The Curse of Oak Island had its season finale, and coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to the narrator of The Curse of Oak Island, Robert Clotworthy, on Sterling on Sunday in seconds. And now, Dr. Dave with your weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Our dancers unionizing. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're married with 8 kids. We see other couples say things on Facebook that
they probably shouldn't say.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
If you've always been suspicious of a white guy with dreads, perhaps your instincts are correct. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
There's Robert Clotworthy, easily the most powerful voice in American television today, the narrator of The Curse of Oak Island and Ancient Aliens and one other one that I always forget. But, Robert, this was the season finale of The Curse of Oak Island. This was a very big show, sir.
Yes, it was. And thank you for having me on, Walter. What did you think of the episode? We had close to 3 million people tune in.
We're in season 10 now, right? Just finished season 10?
Season 10, right.
And
episode, I think, 2025 of the season.
In my humble opinion, it's time for them to find something.
You know, I think they would agree with you. I think they're getting closer and closer. They're certainly finding amazing clues that are I guess kind of difficult to explain other than that there's something there.
Well, what was the most stunning clue to you? Which clue this season made you go, wow, there may be something there?
Well, you know, they found the Templar cross, you know, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And when they went to where was it? Italy, and they found a Templar tunnel or like a underground thing that was in exactly the same shape as that cross. That's pretty shocking.
Yes, but that was like five seasons ago. What about this season?
No, that's when they found the cross. But they went and they found an underground area that is in exactly the same shape as that cross.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing.
And also, they're going down into the in underground where Rick and Marty are actually able to go underground now for the first time. I think that's pretty amazing.
Yes. But so many of the trinkets that they find,
uh-huh.
It seems to me that an island located where it is, and as treacherous as the ocean is around it, these could have been washed up from shipwrecks and not put there. They could have washed up over the years from shipwrecks or people, you know, just pirates dropping it there.
It's certainly a possibility, but then explain to me why when Gary goes down into that tunnel and he puts his metal detector down there, how does he find gold? Why? How come he's finding non-ferrous metals down there? What's that all about?
All right, well, to share with my listener, how much gold have they found on Oak Island? How much gold has Gary found?
Oh, Gary, you know, in my opinion, I think Gary has got the Midas touch. If there's anything there, it seems that he's connected to it. How much gold they found, I'm not certain.
In my opinion, Gary was a godsend to that show. Because, yes, he finds stuff. He's a character. And he's only interested in finding stuff. He has none of these wacky theories that that the brothers have. The brothers say, well, you know, we always find a treasure because we learn more. Gary isn't interested in learning anything. He wants to find stuff, and that's his great gift. Now, the other thing about Oak Island that we've mentioned before, and I don't want to put you in a spot and have you have to defend anything, I think it's fair to say there are no women on Oak Island.
Miriam Amiro, for one. How about that?
Now, what does Miriam do?
She is an archaeologist, so she works with Laird Niven.
How many episodes do you think she's been in about?
She's been on several seasons now. I would say probably, you know, just this season, since we did 25 episodes, I would say probably at least 18 of them.
Wow. That's true. My feeling was always that, like, most of the women who have gone there, they would, like, hang around for a day. They see that there are guys playing in mud. Pretty much from a woman's perspective, like, these guys are just playing in mud. And they have big equipment, like a sandbox.
Yeah, it may not, you know. Plus, there's bugs, and I don't know how the food is there on the island in that area. It's not an easy thing that they do. So I can understand why some people may say, you know what, I'll take a pass on going out there. But I think that if you're really curious and want to discover something, this is a great place to do it. First of all, you know, explain to me these stone roads that they're discovering. What is that all about? Why is that there?
The island has apparently been used many, many times over hundreds of years, including the fact that in 1900 it was surveyed. You know, you see maps of Oak Island where there are plots, where there's acreage mapped out and surveyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason all those people left.
It's cold up there.
It's cold.
Would you want to be up there in the winter?
No.
It's a rough place to hang.
Now, Robert Clotworthy, who's the narrator, the voice of The Curse of Oak Island. I have a business question for you, and you don't have to answer
it. Sure.
You don't have to answer anything because you're like a huge guy. You're just like this huge guy. The equipment that's on Oak Island, the equipment that shows up on Oak Island for which they had to build a bridge, is that leased from one of the brothers' companies? Does that belong to one of the brothers?
I don't believe it is. I know that Marty has his own winery, and he made a good deal of money in the oil shale business a while back. But I think that equipment is leased. They don't personally own it. No, so I don't think they're making a buck off of a machine that's there. Now, Billy Gerhardt probably owns some equipment that they're using, but those giant, huge machines, some of those are coming from. I know a couple of years ago they had some crazy machine that they had sent over from Korea. And my question was, how does it get there? You know, you don't just pull it off the shelf at Home Depot and have it arrive the next day. You've got to really plan serious for this, and they're worth millions of dollars.
Yes, and that goes to the History Channel must have a remarkable budget for this show. When I see that equipment, if it's not owned by one of the brothers, this is some budget that they've given this show.
Yeah.
And,
that's the reason, you know, one of the reasons why they're investing the money is because it's such a popular show. It is the number one show on the History Channel. And, you know, with close to 3 million people tuning in each and every week, if you can believe that, after 10 years, that's shocking for a cable television show on a Tuesday night. Friday or Saturday, it's Tuesday. So, yeah, History Channel is investing a lot of money into the show. That's true.
Yeah, it's a bigger budget than, say, Pawn Stars. Now,
definitely.
Now, I need to ask you about your other show, about Ancient Aliens, which is another huge success, and I blame you because you carry those storylines. You carry
I'm
the
so
story.
Sorry.
Yeah, on Ancient Aliens. But now that you've seen so many theories, the theory that always comes back on those episodes, the debate that always comes, there's one central debate over and over and over again, no matter which geography they're in, which is how did they move the 4-ton blocks? And how did they put them into space? How did they get them lined up? The 4-ton civilizations all over the world somehow or another were able to move blocks that we cannot really do today.
Yeah.
Now that you've seen so many theories about this, in your opinion, how did they move the blocks?
You know, it's interesting because I just did an episode last week about the top 10 mysterious islands, and one of those islands is Nan Madol. And on that episode, we had a professor from UCLA who understands how to build things, and they brought him there, and he says, well, you'd need this machine, that machine, this machine to do it. And he says, well, could you do it? He says, no, I wouldn't be able to build this. So how is it done? The legends say that they had some kind of a flying bird that dropped them in. That could be, you know, some kind of a helicopter, perhaps. How it was done, that is one of the great mysteries.
I like the theory that they move them with sound waves. That works in theory better than people using ramps, which would have been crushed by the 4-ton blocks.
Yeah. And well, in Nan Madol, it's in the middle of the ocean. How do you get it there? Put on a boat?
The boat would
sink. It's impossible.
It's impossible. The boat would sink. But I like the sound wave theory, and then I take it further. I'm like, well, how did they generate the sound waves? Sound, that's good. They didn't do that with singing. So it's absolutely amazing. What I think about all of it is there's a piece of technology and a piece of history that we just don't have. For example, if 1,000 years from now, people found a junkyard with automobiles, our automobiles, but there were no batteries in those automobiles, and they had long ago forgotten about batteries, they would have no idea how those cars moved. without a knowledge of a battery in that car. And I suspect there's a battery in ancient civilizations that's long gone or taken back by the aliens. Don't know. But there's a big piece that we just don't know.
I like where you're going with this, Walter. You're all in. I love it.
And then, well, what I especially like is whenever I present a theory like this, I hear that Egyptian guy, head of the Ministry of Hawass, when I hear, I imagine Hawass screaming at me. No, it was Egyptians. It was Egyptians. He's screaming at me for these wacky theories, these new agers. He always gets very angry about this stuff.
Well, all right, Robert. It's amazing. I love the show. And again, thank you so much for talking to me with me, Walter. I really, really appreciate that.
Well, you're a gifted narrator. And to understand your gift, when you narrate a one-hour show, when you narrate a 44-minute Ancient Alien, how long does it take you? How long does it take you to do that?
Let's see. Our session starts at 10. Usually, you know, I get in there, we talk, we kind of schmooze for about 15, 20 minutes. We go into the studio, they hand me the script, and I knock it out maybe in an hour and 15 minutes max. We kind of go through it. And I'm really good about getting the words off of the page. That helps.
One of the great things about voiceover talent, is very often it isn't so, it's not only your voice, not only your ability to sell an idea, but to get it done fast. They can't afford to have you do too many takes on any of these things. So a lot of the gift is being able to do it fast. And I have tremendous respect for what you do, and I thank you.
Important. Thank you.
Is there a history.com? Is there an Ancient Alien con coming up? Is there an event for the History Channel?
Well, I'm actually going to Contact in the Desert. I think it's June 4th out here in outside of Los Angeles near Palm Springs. But we did a big alien con, our first one in 3 years back in March of this year, and hopefully we'll be doing some more, and hopefully traveling to some other cities. And it would be great to see people, you know, because the fans come out, and it's incredibly gratifying and wonderful to press the flesh a little bit and meet the people that watch the show, because they are really, truly fans. And again, I want to thank everybody for supporting the shows. And we're not going to stop. We keep going.
There's no other narrator in television, no unseen narrator in television who has a fan base like you. People will come to a convention to meet you.
Well, I'll tell you something funny that happened to me last week. This blows my mind, the people that are fans of the show. I did some voice work on a movie called The Creator. It's by, the director is a guy named Gareth Edwards, and he directed a movie called Rogue One. Incredibly big, huge A-list director. He's there at the session. He says, Robert, are you the narrator of Ancient Aliens? I said, yes. He goes, I love that show. It's my favorite television show. In fact, when I go home tonight, I'm going to watch it. So it's amazing who you run into. That for some reason, Ancient Aliens strikes the chord from, it's all over the place. From little kids to older people to movie stars to film directors to you name it. It's a topic that just resonates, and for some reason, my voice works really well with the show, and people really, really like listening to my take on it. And a lot of people tell me they fall asleep listening to me, but they appreciate the fact that they're able to fall asleep listening to the show.
I have a friend who's a big-shot television producer, and what he told me about you is that it is very rare to find a voiceover talent who can tell a story, that you can structure the story in your head and tell the story. A lot of people can read a 30-second spot, which is a gift, too.
Yeah.
But to be able to tell a story for an hour is a remarkable talent. And he said, you can't believe the number of actors I audition to tell a story, and they can't tell a story. They can read, but they can't tell a story. But you, Robert Clotworthy, can tell a story. It is always an honor and humbling. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've been doing it since I was a little kid. One of the things that I loved to do as a kid was read out loud. I would read stories that I had not read before, just to see if I could figure out how the story went, whether it was a question mark at the end of a sentence or an exclamation point, to see if I could make sense of it. So it's something I've been doing since I was literally just 7 or 8 years old when I started reading. So I'm blessed in that way.
Oh, we're blessed to have you. We're blessed to have you as a guest. We're blessed to watch you on television. Thank you very much, Robert Clotworthy, for being on Sterling on Sunday. I appreciate it. All right, my friend, it's 53 past the hour. You and I are on Sterling on Sunday. You don't fit in. You're a misfit. And coming up in just seconds, we're going to review once again the things about being an introvert that are unusual and different. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
Sterling on Sunday. Hey, Sean, how much time do I have? Are you sure? Okay. We have a great website. It's called Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show. And you can find out everything about Sterling on Sunday there. Everything. There are pictures of me, very embarrassing. There's information about Florida Stories and the brilliant James Parker who puts it together. You can get a direct link to my podcast, which is called Midnight Misfits, and you don't fit in. That's why you and I are Midnight Misfits. Neil Paul, Judy Paul, Rosemary Furlong, Dee Wells, and Karen with the Cats. Welcome. Rebecca Canner. Rebecca Canner, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. We are Midnight Misfits. We don't fit in. That's why we're here. And I'm going to share with you some pretty interesting information about what it means to be an introvert and the things that bother us that do but not bother extroverts. It's different. Things that do not bother extroverts bother introverts, and we'll share those coming up in just seconds. And then I'm going to tell you about the rest of my terrifying week. I told you one thing, that I used grant money for my kid accidentally. But there was more. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Our dancers unionizing. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're married with 8 kids. We see other couples say things on Facebook that
they probably shouldn't say.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. $18 million lawsuit over violent arrest at a Walmart. People of Walmart, later. Sterling at night.
If you've always been suspicious of a white guy with dreads, perhaps your instincts are correct. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Dave Scott is in Vegas tonight. Usually he's in some mysterious place in Canada. Dave Scott sent me an email that said he wasn't going to be on tonight, but of course I didn't get that because of the hell week that I was telling you about. And then Robert Clotworthy, who was on moments ago, also sent me an email confirming that he would be on, but of course I didn't see that either because I had Hell Week. More on that coming up in just seconds. Dave Scott, are you in Vegas for some UFO convention or to throw away your money?
Both, Sterling. You know, we had our second annual Las Vegas fan party for our Spaced Out Radio audience, and we're just getting back from the Area 51 area in Rachel, Nevada. We're having a great time here, getting back to the Golden Nugget Casino.
Well, tonight you're on KXNT in Las Vegas, giant affiliate in Las Vegas. KXNT Live, you're on right now. Now, my friend, what did you learn at Area 51? Did you make any discoveries?
Well, we got no aliens, and apparently one of our tour guides who is with us, who has knowledge of the area, he said that they don't fly anything fun on Sundays. So we went out there, checked out the mountain, got pictures near the old black box. You know, it was a fan day, which is something I don't usually get to have when you're chasing down the aliens and UFOs.
What do your fans want to know? Your fans meet you. They're in Vegas. What are the primary questions, Dave Scott?
They want to know what's happening with UFOs and disclosure. They want to know where can they find the truth from who's speaking on trying to figure out if the United States government will ever admit the extraterrestrial presence here on this planet and in North America. The only best answer we could ever give them is we don't know. We're waiting for the secrets to come out themselves, which we could hear later. We're hearing within the next 6 months, maybe?
In my opinion, we're never going to know. And the reason we're never going to know, we may discover it ourselves. We may have friends, family who discover the answer, but the government is never going to say it. Because the minute the government says it, Dave Scott, they are no longer the government. The people in charge are no longer in charge when something bigger arrives. And if I'm going to respond to a senile guy from Delaware versus a man with a giant spaceship, I'm going to go with the guy with the spaceship.
Well, I would go with the guy with the spaceship, too. I mean, they put it this way. If they have the technology to get from the far-out reaches of the space to get here, they definitely have the ability to tell us what to do on this planet, and hopefully it's for the good. But I agree with you. We're not going to have anybody who's senile, white-haired, and mumbles and fumbles over words going to be able to explain to us what extraterrestrials are doing here.
Dave Scott, I also have a favorite theory about who knows what. President Trump was asked, are there UFOs? And he said no. And then he was asked, well, would they tell you if there were? And he said, I think so. Now, here's the deal. I think they've told some presidents and not told other presidents. That's my opinion, that not every president has access to this information. Now, Bill Clinton, of all people, said that he spent the first 6 months with his vice president trying to get two answers, UFOs and who killed Kennedy. And he didn't get an answer to either. Therefore, I don't think the government will let us know. I like the X-Files because I think that was the truth. The X-Files has a cabal of scary old men who know the truth. And they're not telling anybody. The president wasn't in those meetings. They're not telling anybody because they want to be the commandants when the aliens take over. What do you think?
I think that every president has been read in. Just some of them aren't as comfortable talking about it. We know George Bush Jr. was not comfortable about talking about the subject. We know President Trump was not comfortable with the subject, even though one of his sons was very much interested in what happened, especially at Roswell and maybe what was flying out at Area 51. However, when it comes to everything else in regards to, you know, the knowledge of where it's going to happen, that is one of the things that I have been told from people who research presidents and UFOs. It's a gentleman named Frank Cameron who says it is one of the most locked up subjects a president can ever ask about. They are not allowed to detail what is going on. They don't have the clearance to do so for the American public.
They're not allowed to, Dave Scott. What would happen if they did?
That's the problem. We don't know what would happen, whether it's going to be all-out anarchy, whether it's going to be what else is hiding, what else is the U.S. government covering up, what is, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that are kind of broken up with that. National security, what's going to happen with finances? Where are these beings coming from? Are they safe? Are they safe for mankind? Are they dangerous for humanity? Are they dangerous to the American security? This is all the concern that they have in regards to whether or not any type of disclosure of alien content is very affordable to the American public. And how will the American public react? How will the religious side react? How will the economy react? I learned from a gentleman named Lou Elizondo that during COVID, they actually were watching how people were treating each other during COVID because they wanted to make sure that anybody who was being treated nefariously, those people who were buying 15 gallons of milk or 3,600 rolls of toilet paper, were how they were treating other people and leaving people in a lurch. And that really wasn't a good sign for what would happen if aliens came around. How would people react? COVID was a litmus test. We failed. And now they don't really want to be going down that aisle anymore because the public probably cannot handle the fact that we are not alone in this universe.
I think the public can handle it just fine. I think that any ruling government in the world, and they do talk to each other, realizes that they will no longer be ruling if there's a reveal about the fact that there are aliens and UFOs. Let me suggest one other thing. I saw a great UFO movie or a great UFO TV show where there was a military guy talking to the president of the United States, and they were debating what to do with the UFOs, what to do about them. And he said, listen, Mr. President, have we ever been in a war situation where we didn't use every ounce of power that we have? And he said, no. He said, well, I don't think the aliens have any. He said, I don't think the aliens have any weapons, because remember, we don't have any idea what their culture is about. They may have no weaponry because it never occurred to them. They may know how to fly around the universe and go through time and different dimensions, but it never occurred to them to create a deadly weapon. That might be the situation.
Or if they have that technology in order to get here, they may have the technology to think that our nuclear weapons are highly primitive. There's the other side of that, too.
Well, they are. Dave Scott, I hope you enjoy your time in Vegas. I hope you don't lose too much money. But the food's amazing, isn't it, Dave?
The steaks that I've been picking out on are incredible. I'm a steak guy because I like my beef. And the Golden Nugget, where we're staying, has treated us very well. And thank you so much for having us on again.
Dave Scott, I look forward to you being on again next week. I'm sorry I didn't see your emails about this week, but you were very gracious for coming on the show tonight. Thank you. And listening to KXNT in Las Vegas. Thank you, Dave.
Much love, my friend. You take care.
All right. I'm Walter M. Sterling, 17 past the hour. This is the Midnight Misfit Hour. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me.
How far will a student go to get out of a math test? Pretty far, even out of this world. A student in Michigan had to take a math test. When all the other tricks have been tried, get creative. He spread rumors of an alien invasion on social media. CTV reports the posting said eyewitnesses told of the skies being filled with flying saucers. A few landed on the playground. It was all a hoax designed to get him out of taking the math test. The school takes rumors seriously. Parents even had to be reassured that no aliens were invading. They finally gave the all clear after an investigation. They say it's a good lesson for students, so they learn to verify information before sharing on social media. A good imagination sometimes will get you into trouble. The student, of course, was disciplined. Wonder what grade he got on that math test. Probably not an A for alien. F for foolish? Alan First, News 98.1, KMBZ.
We love Alan First. Alan First is the program director of our affiliate in Kansas City, KMBZ-FM. Yes, we're on FM radio stations. Do you understand that? That's because this is a very cool, misfit, doesn't-fit-in show. And I was looking at Alan First's curriculum vitae, or as those of us who are from the analog age called them, resumes. I was looking at his resume, and Alan, you have a better resume than anybody I know in radio, and this is very hard for me to admit. You have a better resume than I do. And that's remarkable, not because I did anything, but because I've been doing it a long time. And when you can do something a long time, it appears as though you get a lot of experience at it. But Alan First is brilliant, and he did the coolest thing, the stuff I wish I could have done, which is he was a programmer in Australia. You been to Australia? Ever been there? They call themselves the luckiest place on earth. And they are the luckiest place on earth. What they have figured out is the best of capitalism and the best of socialism. And even more amazing, you can curse on the radio. 888-688-WALT. Lance in New Jersey, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hey, a gracious good evening, and thank you for the Midnight Misfits in Michigan.
Now, where in Jersey are you?
Down in South Jersey, about 5 miles out of Atlantic City, Galloway Township.
What a great place to live.
95.5 on the FM radio.
What a great place to live, Lance. Congratulations. What can we do for you tonight, Lance?
I wanted to tell you that, I actually am doing a Nielsen rating diary for a week, and I'm going to include you in it because I enjoy listening to your show. But I really wanted to let you know that it was so refreshing and comforting to hear you talk how sincerely and you were involved with the last two and a half months, I guess, with your daughter's accident, and then to be so proud of her recital and her astonishment that she actually did it. And being in the laundry room, I know you're folding clothes repeatedly, but I just think that you deserve to have a Taylor pork roll sandwich this week somehow and share it with your daughter. So there you go.
Well, Lance, you're a good friend. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do. You realize that outside of New Jersey, there are no Taylor pork roll sandwiches. I used to live in Manhattan. I used to say to the supermarket people in Manhattan, you need to stock Taylor's ham. And they had no idea what I was talking about in Manhattan. You could walk to Jersey from Manhattan. And I finally got one supermarket chain in Manhattan to stock Taylor's ham because I was raised on Taylor's ham. That was a great treat for those of us in New Jersey. Taylor's ham, not Taylor pork roll, as your people call it. Now, I'm gonna let Sean give you my home address, and you're gonna figure out a way to ship some to me.
All right, there you go.
Because that would be
a
true gift, and it's very gracious what you said about my daughter. My daughter had a, in case you don't know, my daughter had a terrible accident. Yeah, terrible.
Right.
In January, and she was in the hospital for 3 nights. Now, you know, Lance, if you go to the hospital, they might keep you one night. They kept her 3 nights, and she's had to do physical therapy. She's had to do psychological therapy. This was a big accident, and she was a passenger. She didn't cause this accident. She was a passenger. So she's been through a lot, but it wasn't me or her mom saying, you got to try this dancing, you got to stick to it. No, no, no. Our instincts were stay home, heal. But she wasn't going to do that. She was determined to perform at this recital, to learn how to dance even better. And I'm proud of her that she got into a great college. She got into SUNY Purchase, and she has a great path. Oh, by the way, Lance, her gift to herself for high school graduation is to go to Jenkinson's Beach for a week at Point Pleasant at the Jersey Shore, to go into a cheese ball hotel, motel on the beach with her high school buddies, drive herself there, and enjoy the Jersey Shore because that's where she grew up too. But Lance, you're a good friend. It's very kind of you to remember all of this and to keep track of it. I am incredibly proud of her. So hold on, Lance. We'll get you that address. Stand by. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Now, let's see. This is what I wanted to tell you about. Hold on. I have to do this over here. I have the worst piece of sound equipment to play. Okay. The X-Files already predicted the pandemic, and they say the pandemic happened because of the aliens needing to spread a virus. And once the virus got into us, they could control us.
The abduction of Samantha Ann Mulder, Fox's younger sister, was an example of this very exchange, and was ironically what had inspired him to join the FBI and investigate the paranormal.
These files were never to be seen.
40 years of work. The damage could be incalculable.
Damage is done.
Gentlemen, we have control.
Gentlemen, we have control. Now listen, this is Cancer Man talking to the cabal, talking to the secret government that actually controls the government about the relationship between the aliens, the virus, and us.
The abduction of Samantha Ann Mulder, Fox's younger sister, was an example of this very exchange and was ironically what had inspired him to join the FBI and investigate the paranormal.
These files were never to be seen.
40 years of work. The damage could be incalculable.
Damage is done.
Gentlemen, we have control.
Yes, they always imagined that they had control. That was their big imagination. There was a scene where Cancer Man addressed an alien, explained to an alien why he could not be performing miracles. The alien went to a mass shooting, put his hands over these people, and cured them. That got him arrested. And Cancer Man confronted him in his cell. And to me, this was the greatest scene in the history of American television. I have never seen a more profound scene, than Cancer Man confronting an alien in his cell and explaining to the alien his fate. Remarkable television. I will share that with you coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome to our big network show. It's called Sterling on Sunday, and we are live.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
Coming up in just seconds, in my opinion, which is all that matters here because it's my show, the greatest scene in television was on The X-Files. I'll play that for you in just seconds. Now, the amazing Dr. Dave with our weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Our dancers unionizing. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
If you've always been suspicious of a white guy with dreads, perhaps your instincts are correct. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
From the great state of Delaware, it's Dan Gaffney.
And Becky Gaffney.
We've been married for some time. We have eight children. I think we can give some advice to other married couples.
First, I'm going to point out that you don't ever say we've been married for some time. Married couples, husbands, you always have to remember exactly how long you've been married.
So we think we should give some advice to couples. You're fired up about things couples say on social media.
Slightly. We have an anniversary coming up, and every time we have an anniversary coming up, I basically threaten you with your life not to post about it on Facebook. Because when people do it, it's like the weirdest kind of like, we've had our ups and downs. We've been through tough times. Look, we all know, people. Like, just stop. Don't continually point out the fact that you guys are having a hard time.
They're like backhanded insults.
Exactly.
In other words, it's our anniversary. He's been a real jerk all these years,
but I've stuck through it with him. Look at me sitting here while I stand by my man. It's terrible. They do the same thing with their kids. A lot of people get on there and they talk, oh, happy birthday to my little Rylan. This year she's 11. We didn't think she'd make it past 9. We're putting up with her. She's full of sass, but I guess that's how God made her. Just stop with the insults, people. Stop.
The other thing we notice is you can tell when a couple, married couple, is about to break up within 6 months based on their Facebook post.
Right. If you don't want anyone to know what's going on behind closed doors, don't start making posts about how she's the best woman that ever has graced the earth. She's so amazing with our kids. She does this and sacrifices. And
like repeatedly.
It's like the flowers. When you know that a guy's done something wrong and he brings a big bouquet of flowers to kind of make up for it, and somebody's like, oh, what did he do wrong? wrong. But when those Facebook posts are posted, you know the marriage is ending.
So you're saying your theory is when the guy is, the man usually, is going overboard with sweetness and compliments repeatedly, those types of posts?
I said the guy, but really it's not just the guy, because I've seen it with women too. And before women up and hightail it, they're sitting there like he kind of knows there's something up, but she doesn't want to let him know yet, so she has to say to
these
the
entire...
Cover
stories. Right. These are cover stories going on social media.
Right, and you can't just, like, you know, cover at home. You got to, like, let the world know how awesome you are and how amazing everything is right before everything falls apart. Like, maybe just focus on your marriage, focus on your anniversary, focus on your little sassy child instead of telling the world how terrible it is that you have to be with them through a backhanded compliment.
All right, then. I can promise you, I'm not going to say a word when our anniversary rolls around.
And don't tell me how awesome I am either, baby. Let's just keep it the way it is. Straight up, on the up and up, don't say anything nice.
Sterling on Sunday. The Gaffneys. Fantastic. The best scene ever in the history of television was on The X-Files. And it featured Cancer Man confronting an alien in the alien's prison cell. Why was the alien in prison? Because the alien had dared to perform miracles. There had been a mass shooting. The alien was there. He went to each person who was shot, put his hands on him, and healed the gunshot wound. As a result, he was seized, arrested, put in jail as fast as they could get him. And he broke the code. The code was these guys were not supposed to perform any miracles. This was not okay.
It's only a matter of time now. You put me in a cage within a cage. Why are you so afraid of me?
I'm not.
Yes, you are. You live in fear. That's your whole life.
You don't know anything about me.
I know everything about you. You think the miracles I perform are the extent of my power.
You think you're God. You're a drone. A catalog. Chattel.
What you're afraid of is they'll believe I am God.
That doesn't matter. Most of them have ceased to believe in God.
Why?
Because God presents them with no miracles during their faith.
You think when man ceases to believe in miracles, he rejects God?
Of course.
You rule over them in God's name.
They don't believe in him, but they still fear him. They're afraid not to because they're afraid of freedom.
And you give them happiness.
We appease their conscience. Anyone who can appease a man's conscience can take his freedom away from him.
And if you can't appease their conscience, you kill them. But you can't kill them all. You can't kill their love, which is what makes them who they are. Makes them better than us. Better than you.
You talk. I'm not one of you.
No. All you want is to be a part of it. Is to be one of the commandants when the process begins. You are wrong.
Oh, am I?
Yes. You are dying of lung cancer.
That's just the best scene ever in television. Kafka. All right, Walter Sterling and you, 43 past the hour. We're driving across the country on Route 80. We're going up and down the 5, the 101, Route 4, Interstate 4 in Florida. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. There's Michael Ewing and Jay Clark, brilliant programmers, in Sebring, Florida. Now, you and I have no idea where Sebring, Florida is, no idea. But we suspect it's beautiful there now, probably about 78 degrees, 68% humidity. It's going to be exactly the same tomorrow, but we are very proud to be on the radio station in Sebring, Florida, run by the brilliant Michael Ewing. Welcome, my Midnight Misfits. If you would like to be an official Midnight Misfit, it's pretty darn easy. Go to waltersterlingshow.com. and click on Midnight Misfits, and you'll see how to become a member. And there you can print out and download an official membership card which spells out exactly what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do, what qualifies you as a misfit. Going into the third shift, the late shift, right there, you're a misfit. This is not normal. It's not normal to drive an 18-wheeler across the country at this time. This is not normal behavior. But it's what you and I do, because there's a solitude, a sweetness. You and I are wrapped in solitude and silence, which protects us and keeps us comfortable and safe without people poking into us and demanding all sorts of things all the time.
People complaining about me being an introvert. Small talk. People thinking I'm rude when I ask for time to be alone. Someone telling me to speak more, then talking over me every time I tried to.
Some of the annoyances of being an introvert. You and I just coming up in seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday. I love Northern Ad Agency because Northern Ad Agency isn't like most ad agencies. In fact, it isn't like any other ad agency at all. Northern Ad Agency is focused on selling your stuff, not their nonsense. Most ad agencies want to sell you that we've won a lot of awards. We're featured in Advertising Age. Our CEO came from this big age. No, you don't want that. What you want is an ad agency that's determined to sell your stuff, to sell your services. That's all they do. You know why? Because they're in Minnesota. What's to do in Minnesota? Nothing. They work and then they go home. That's what you want. Northern Ad Agency, northernadagency.com. Get the information. Why not? Let them give you a pitch. Let them give your boss a pitch. Let them give your owner or you a pitch for a new ad agency, Northern Ad Agency. Northern Ad Agency, northernadagency.com.
Sterling on Sunday.
You get out of the shower in the morning and you go for the towel. And the best way to feel good about the day is to wrap yourself in a brand new towel. That's exactly the color you want. Please go to MyPillow.com and click on the towels. You will see the most beautiful towels you could ever imagine in colors you didn't even know you could get in a towel. It's beautiful. These are soft to the touch without that lotiony feeling. They're made with a special technology that makes them highly absorbent. 60-day money-back guarantee. USA cotton. These towels work. And if you put in a promo code Walter, they drop from about $100 to $39.98 for a six pack of towels, two washcloths, two hand towels, and two bath towels. Please find out about them. You can call 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876. Say Walter, the discount is yours, or go to MyPillow.com.
The ghost pepper has a reputation. So does a ghost pepper wing that doesn't send you into tears make any sense? It does to us. That's why Popeye's ghost pepper wings are the perfect balance of flavor and fire. Popeye starts with intensely craveable flavor, adds the right amount of kick to keep things interesting, not inferno-ing, and then offers them at only $5 for six pieces. Because in New Orleans, we like to taste our food, not cry over it. Call us crazy.
Love that chicken from Popeye's.
Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Well, I am humbled and thrilled by the fact that the dad joke teller of all time, Judy in Dallas, has agreed to join us. Judy, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hello.
Hello, my Judy. Welcome to the big show.
Thank you.
Do you have a joke? Do you have a joke for us?
Yes. Yes. Why did this turtle wear the rough parts?
Why?
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Tony in Pittsburgh, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Good morning, Walter. How are you?
Always an honor to speak to you, listening on KDKA, America's first commercial radio station, but not America's first radio station, but America's first commercial radio station.
You know, actually where I work, believe it or not, Walter, is where the original broadcast of KDKA radio happened.
Where is that?
Well, it's an RIDC facility in East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but it used to be Westinghouse. And that's where the first broadcast happened. It was in the early 1900s. I don't have the exact date.
It was in a Westinghouse factory.
Yes, and this is the factory it happened at. My dad used to work here.
Wow. Well, how are you tonight, Tony?
Nostalgic.
What news do you have for us, Tony?
Well, you were talking about the X-Files, the best scene in television history. I never saw it, so I can't vouch for it, but I'm going to have to check it out. But my opinion of the greatest episode of any television show in history, and this is purely opinion because I love the show, but the final episode of the show The Wonder Years. Did you ever watch that show in the 80s and early 90s?
Yes, and I have a good piece of trivia. When they put together The Wonder Years, they wanted Gene Shepard, monologuist from New York, who kind of inspired that show, to narrate it. And he would have been a great narrator, except that he asked for a lot of money to do it. Mm-hmm. And so then they got some other guy. Oh, they got the kid. Now, I didn't see the last episode of The Wonder Years. What was the last episode, Tony?
Well, it was the 4th of July. I'm going to say it was based on the 4th of July around 1973 or 4, towards the end of the Vietnam War. And the main character, Kevin, came home from his summer job, met his family at the 4th of July parade. It was a fantastic and touching episode. So I highly recommend checking it out.
It was a beautiful show.
And it really was.
The dad was a brilliant actor. The kid has had a very successful TV career since as a television director. He's directed a lot of shows. And how's Tony tonight?
I'm very well, Walter. I'm, winding down from the weekend and just kind of sitting at my desk, taking it all in, and I was inspired by your comments about the best scene in television history. Do you happen to know what episode that was, or should I just look it up as the X-Files such and such?
It was a weird name. It was a weird name. I will look it up, and now I'll tell you a great story about that scene. All right, so on my 6th wedding anniversary, the fact that my wife and I ultimately got together was out of nowhere, at a random conversation, we both liked that scene best. We didn't watch it together. We hadn't known each other when it was on the air. But and by the way, that episode was William B. Davis, Cancer Man's. That was his favorite episode, too. So for the 6th anniversary, since we both liked that scene, I said, you know what? Let me see if I can get William B. Davis and Roy Thinnes, the two actors in the scene, to come to a lunch and perform it for us. And I had plenty of time. So it was about 9 months ahead. I wrote William B. Davis a letter. I knew where he lived in Seattle or Portland. I knew he had his name on an acting school, which made it much easier for him to find him. And he said, okay, fly me to New York, put me up for 3 nights, and I'll do it. And which was incredible to me. It was like, oh my God. And then the alien was played by Roy Thinnes. And I had no idea how to get a hold of him. No idea. Except that he had been in a soap opera. He had been in an ABC soap for maybe a year or two. And I knew exactly one person in soap opera land, and that was Jackie Zeman, who just passed away. She was on General Hospital. And I called Jackie and I said, do you know this guy? Do you know how to get in touch with him? Oh, I know Roy. here's his phone number. I'll call him ahead and let him know you're going to call. Oh, my God. And he lived in Westchester. And I call him up like a week ahead, and the phone goes like this. Hello? And I go, oh, Mr. Thinnes, I have this idea. Silence. Would you come?
That's fantastic.
Could you come and reenact the scene with William B. Davis? Would you do that? Long, painful silence, Tony. And he goes, it would be good to see Bill again. And I'm like, oh, my God. So they both came to this thing, performed it at a luncheon for my 6th wedding anniversary. And let me tell you, I've been married many years since then. It's been all downhill since that event. Nothing could come close to that event, Tony. You're a great fan, a great friend. Thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. It's a spectacular radio show. Now, I need to stay in touch with you at all times because no program director in American radio has the sense of humor to put me on 5 nights a week. Yes, I would deliver ratings. Yes, I'm a very powerful broadcaster, but oh, gee, it doesn't fit in. Just like you at work. You and I don't fit in. That's why we're here. And that's why this show is a success, because who needs another show of some old guy screaming at the Democrats? I just don't think it's necessary. My email, and I want to hear from you, is waltermsterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Be sure to sign up to be a Midnight Misfit at Walter Sterling Show, and the greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.